Good evening, everyone. Thanks for being here with us today for this meeting for this Mammut Startup Conference today. And I will slowly start with the introduction while some many more joining right now. So thanks for being here. We'll talk today about local heroes, and we are really excited to have two local heroes with us today. And that is Margareta Koch from Kempenwohl and Peter Kleine from Mennekes. And these two represent two of the middle-sized companies ranged within or located, having their main location within the region of the Sauerland. And we will talk today a lot about what labor shortage, shortage of skilled labor means for them, how they design their recruitment strategies to find new people to hire, and what this implies for you, and how far living in this region can actually be an accelerator to your career. And then starting maybe just with a very short side to motivate the session a bit more. I just found a site by the chair of the German Council of Economic Experts who said that in the next 15 years we will be short of 7 million workers, which I guess will be a huge challenge for every employer. But in particular, also for the regional employers, maybe. And so we're excited to hear about their strategies, what they're doing to combat these challenges. So we will first have a talk by Margareta from Kempenwohl. Then we have short time for questions, and we turn next to Peter from Mennekes. And then afterwards, we will have a larger discussion round. So having this said, I will hand over to Margareta. She's working in the HR department of Kempenwohl. She's there responsible for recruitment, particularly the very first contact with those people who apply there for a job, and she's responsible there for employer branding. So thanks, Margareta, for being here, and I just directly hand over to you to not waste any more time.
Yeah, thanks for your short introduction. I'll try to share my screen now. Maybe you can tell me if it worked or not.
Yes, we don't see presentation mode, but we see your screen already.
Can you see it
Yes,
now?
yeah, perfect.
Perfect. Awesome. I would like to start to introduce myself. As you already did, very short, I am Margareta Koch, and I'm working for Kempenwohl since 2018. I started off as an industrial clerk trainee, and after finishing my apprenticeship in 2021, I started working in the HR department as an HR manager, and I am responsible for the application process, inclusive the onboarding process in our company. And I am also supporting our subsidiaries abroad. For example, I am responsible for our American location that is located in Atlanta, and it starts off with hiring people and looking for people to support them throughout the whole journey with us. I'll be there when they have questions for health insurance or retirement question, and I also handle the payroll there. And then I recently started to look into the big subject, employer branding. I just started that this year, and I guess it's already like we are already doing it, but it's a lot of improvement still. And then I also started to study business administration part-time with a focus on HR since September of 2021. I'm looking forward to finally be done next year. Then I would like to give you an overview of what I'll talk about today. First, I'll talk about Cat and Wolf a little bit. Then I have brought with me some facts about skills shortage, just general facts. Then I'll talk about skill shortage and the difficulties of Cat and Wolf, our actions and goals for the future. And then at the end, I'll just summarize everything briefly. Okay, let me start with introducing Cat and Wolf. Cat and Wolf was founded in 1925 in the small town called Kückelheim. It's very close to Eslo. It is a family business in the third and fourth generation, and we have over 1,200 employees worldwide. And we are also still growing. Our product portfolio, you might get a first glimpse with the name Cat and Wolf. We produce conveyor chains and drive chains, but also sprockets, and we offer various services from the assembly of the chains to basically developing the chains that they fit right into your machine you might have. We deliver our chains and sprockets in various industries. Our three most important industries are the escalator industry, the bulk material handling industry, and the automotive industry. And now I would like to show you a map of all of our locations abroad. We have a total of 10. With Kückelheim, this is the biggest location and our headquarters. We have our production site there and also a sales location and approximately 600 employees. Then we have Hangzhou in China and Ferlach in Austria. Those are also production and sales location. And then the rest of the locations are only sales location and not production. Sites. There is the USA, the biggest one of them with 13 employees at the moment. And out of those 13 employees, three are deployed from Germany. So we are always looking for Germans to go work for us in the USA as well. Okay. Now I'll come to just some general facts just to show off how important the subject skills shortage is. I did not find a great statistic and graphic in English, so I'm sorry for that. I'll try my best to translate it and tell you about it. So in this graphic, you can see over the years, starting since 2011, ending in 2021, how many open positions there are still. And it's, well, a fact that 2020 was as high as it never was before. And for the future, it is safe to say that it will still be rising, as Madeline told us in the beginning as well. Some reasons for that is, of course, the demographic change, but also I guess it's safe to say that we do not have an employer market anymore. We have an employee market now. And then I brought a second graphic with me. It shows the apprenticeship open job positions from 2012 compared to 2022. And it has more than doubled. Well, of course, the demographic change as well is a reason for it, but it also has to do with educational behavior and the change of the educational behavior. More students are visiting the gymnasium. I don't know how to translate that word. Than it used to be, and more students go to university or go to colleges afterwards. I guess the apprenticeship has really become kind of unpopular now. And of course, I guess the pandemic has made an influence as well. There were not any job fairs nor consultation of students, and they just don't know what they want in the future. Now I'll move on to skill shortage and how Kettenwolf deals with it, or basically what our difficulties are. Well, our first difficulty is our location in Südwestfalen. I guess Peter Keime will probably say the same. Südwestfalen is great. I mean, we do have a good work-life balance here, but the Generation Z that leaves school now has different values and would like to just move on to the bigger cities first. And I mean, highway connections are not too great either, or train connections aren't either. So it's really hard to get to the companies if you do not have a car. Yes, then our second difficulty is an advantage in our sales area. I mean, niche products, it's an advantage. We are a hidden champion, but for the applicants and recruiting, it's more a disadvantage because our products are so rare. Many people do not have enough knowledge of our products and need to be completely trained for a couple of years. And it's just hard to find good employees who have worked with chains or Sprocket before. And then a third difficulty is that just we have, or we are looking for experts in many fields. We have the production side, the technical department, we have a huge administration. And of course, we are always looking for management as well. The technical department, I mean, it starts off with the electricians, with the people who work on the machines in the welding department, in the laser department, in the heat treatment, and then administration. I guess it starts off in research and development, engineers, product management, sales, purchasing, accounting, HR. I mean, all of those departments go with it. And we, as Kettenwolf, or the company Kettenwolf, has divided three groups, three target groups of applicants. First, the trainees. The Generation Z aims to study. They want to go to bigger cities, and apprenticeship is not really the first thing on their list. Then the young professionals, the problem there is that they have little to no work experience, and the experts have the chance to work everywhere. It's the employee market, and how we try to get those target groups to come work for us, I'll show you in the next slide. Okay, I try to fit all of our actions in. I guess those are only the biggest actions we did over the last couple of years. I'll start on the top of the circle. We are always attending job fairs, and last year we did a huge campaign at Sui Days. It was called, it's Trainee Days. And we also produced a new magazine for Atsuis. I'll have some pictures of it. This is us at the job fair in Meschede at the Berufsinformationsbörse. Then on the top right, you can see our video that was part of the Atsubi Days. We posted each day a video of a different job that we train in our company. And then on the bottom right, you can see our new magazine. You can read everything from how to send an application to what is that particular job doing in that magazine. And then Yeah, we of course have our career website and we use social media. Our career website is probably one of the most important things because it is the first impression that an applicant has. Yeah, all of our job postings are on it. Also, we have the contact persons on it. And then social media, we use LinkedIn and Instagram, and we post just random things, like when we are visiting a fair or when somebody visits us. It's just to give an update to the uni. And then the next actions are talent management and company ambassadors. As you can see here on the right side, talent management starts basically with our trainees, and then it goes even further than the apprenticeship. Those two girls just finished their apprenticeship, and then we have on the left side our instructor that is responsible for the trainees. And we now look into what further education they might want to do and support them the best way we can. And on the left side, we have our trainee ambassadors. Just started this year that we sent four of our trainees to a seminar from the Industrie- und Handelskammer. But basically, you can say that every employee is our company ambassador because they all represent Kettenwolf to the outside. And for me or for us, it's the most important. Then we are active sourcing. We work with the headhunter. We do job advertisement. And once the employees come to our company, we have set up a trainee program. Job advertisement, we basically post our job offers, of course, on our website, on Karriere Südwestfalen, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. We try our best to post it there too. And then for the training, we look individually what the person might need, and then we create an individual training plan. But the base of each training plan is our training platform. I put a screenshot in the presentation where they basically can start off with digitalized trainings, and then further on they will have in-person trainings to really get the subject in. I hope that made sense. Those were basically the biggest actions, but of course Kettenwolf also offers attractive employee benefits. We do offer bike leasing, we have a flexible working time, we have a yearly one-time payment, and also offer a gym membership to our employees. We're looking into sustainability, and we always have a summer festival and a Christmas party each year. And now I'll move on to the goals of Kettenwolf for the future. For the future, we're looking into strengthening our employer brand, just because it's so important to get right to the target group with the best way possible. That's why we would like to work more actively with the social media, and we would like to dive into the active recruiting a little bit further. We would also like to focus on employee loyalty, because we just question basically some numbers. And for example, when an expert exits the company, it costs approximately 51,000 $51,000, and that's just a whole lot of money. And also, employees to stay in the company do not take any knowledge with them. And then we are always trying to expand our employee benefits. The next benefit we are expanding or already in the process is the home office. Yeah, and that's it for my part. I'll basically summarize it. I would say that skill shortage is not a trend, it's an ongoing challenge. Kettenwolf is fully aware of the problem and already shows action in many ways that I try to present to you. And we are actively already working on further solutions. And now for the last part, I would like to say that we are always looking for new team members. So when you're interested, just go on our website. All of our own job positions are on it, and we are looking forward to get in contact with you. Thanks for your attention.
Thanks a lot for the presentation. So I think we have short time for some short questions and comments. So if you have any, like either raise your hand or write it in the chat. And I have a very short question. So you have some time to think yourself if you have a short one. We have more time for discussion in the end, but just very briefly, like do you, because you had this graph of the different types of persons you're looking for, young professionals, trainees, and so on. Like, do you know the approximate share of like your open positions right now? How much of this goes to apprenticeship positions? How much of that goes to young professionals? So roundabout, like, or which fraction is most important to you? Those who start the apprenticeship, those who are already young professionals.
I guess you can't really say which one is the most important. Mm-hmm. I would say everyone is equally important. As far as it goes to open positions, I would say that, I mean, we have the ground stock of apprenticeship we offer each year. It's just it's a number of open position it developed over the years. I guess we are around 20 open positions for apprenticeship, both technically and administrationally. And then for young professionals, I would say open positions are a little bit on the shorter side, just because the onboarding takes a little bit longer. So we would like to offer each young professional the chance to get a proper onboarding. That's why we haven't posted as many young professional job positions.
Yeah, no, thanks. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Okay, I don't see further questions. So I think I just directly, like I said, if you have longer questions, remember them. We can come back to that later on in the discussion. And I will now directly hand over to Peter. Peter is working at the HR and recruitment department at Manicus. And I think, again, I don't want to take any of your time. And I guess you will say us a bit more about what you're doing there and what exactly Manicus is doing. So, I just directly hand over to you, Peter.
All right. Thanks, Madeleine. Then let me share my screen so that I can show you my presentation. Now you should see
yes,
still the presentation mode.
No, yes, yeah, perfect.
Now it is, okay.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, welcome, of course, from my side. I want to tell you a little bit about my company, about Manicus, and how we deal with the skill shortage, which is the topic for today. In this picture, you see part of our main building in Kirchhundem, here in the Sauerland. And you see the Manicus logo and the slogan, "An exciting connection made in Germany." And first, to introduce myself, I want to tell you some sentences about me. As Madeline said before, I'm a personal officer with a focus on recruitment. So I'm here at Manicus for recruiting new people for the company, for a special part of the company, as I will tell you later on. I joined Manicus in July 2022. So I'm here not a full year yet, but I think I will stay for a long time because it's really a great company. My professional background is I did it a little bit different than Margareta, who went the way through an apprenticeship. I went the way and studied. So I did a bachelor in media management, and after that I did a master in management and markets, and with the focus on HR. So my master thesis was about an HR topic. So I started to work in this field afterwards, and I was a personal officer at the University of Siegen from January 2019 until last summer, before I decided that it's time to continue my career somewhere else. So I came to Manicus, but it's not about me today. It's about the topic, the challenge of the shortage of skilled workers, and how Manicus counters the shortage of skilled workers and recruits skilled electricians. I took the example of electricians because we are an electrotechnical company, and so we need electricians for quite some departments of our company, as I will present you a little bit later. And so for us, it's a really important profession. But first of all, let's take a quick look on the agenda that I brought for today. First, I want to give you a short overview about our company, a little bit about the history and where we are today. Then I want to tell you a little bit more about the problem, the lack of qualified electricians in our area here in Südwestfalen, or South Westphalia in English. And then I want to present you what our solution for this is. It's called a versatile approach. So I will tell you later what that means. But let's start with some history at first. Manicus is not as old as Kettenwolf, but it was founded in 1935. In this picture in the background, you see the young electrician Alois Manicus, who founded a small business in his home village in Hof Olpe in 1935. And then after the Second World War, his business started to grow a little bit bigger, and in 1947 he purchased the factory premises in Kirchhundem, and there was the construction of the first factory building where we are still today, or headquarters still in Kirchhundem today. In 1994, Manicus decided to move on from electrical trade and retail company to a manufacturer of electrical equipment, and the production of the industrial plugs and sockets started, which is still our main field of main business field, although we have two business fields that have been growing faster in the last years. Then a lot of years this history went on, and in 1975 we had a generation change. Dieter and Walter Manicus joined the company and have been, I think you couldn't see the whole picture. They joined the company and were head of the company since then. In those picture you see both of them. And in 1985, Manicus found the first foreign subsidiaries in the UK and in the USA. Until that point, it was just national business. And then those two decided to go international with the company. In 2008, we had a huge change in our company. And this was the pioneership in electromobility. We established the e-mobility and automotive business unit, which came on top to the industrial plugs and sockets business. And So our company is divided into three big parts right now. In 2011, we had another change in the management. Christopher Menekes, who is in this picture on the right side, became the head of the company. His father, Walter, is still in the company, but not as active anymore. A huge milestone for our company was the development of the Type 2 charging plug, which became the norm for all European countries by European law for the electromobility. So this was a huge booster for the company. And so we've been pretty fast growing the last years. In 2019, we moved to a new production hall in Welschen-Ennest because our headquarters in Kirchhundem became a little too small for the company. And right now we are constructing even a new administration building in Welschen-Ennest to give some space for all the people that join our company. Right now, we have more than 1,600 employees worldwide. And from those, it's more than 1,100 in Germany, which are located mainly in Kirchhundem and in Welschen-Ennest, but also in the eastern part of Germany, where we have part of our company as well. And right now, we offer apprentices for 11 professions plus dual study programs. So young people have quite some opportunities to join our company and to make their way with us. When you take a look at the sales, at the numbers, we had 300 million euro in 2022, and 55% of which are exports into 90 different countries in the world. So we are quite international right now. This is the these are the business units where Menekes is divided into today. We have the business unit one on the left side, which is the traditional business, like I said before, the industrial plugs and sockets. And this is still our main, our core business, as we call it. And then since 2008, we have the e-mobility and the automotive business unit that came on top. And I am responsible for recruiting in the business unit one, which is the industry. And we have the thing that that we need electrotechnically trained specialists for the products that we built in our business unit one and business unit two. We are talking about those those wall boxes or charging stations, which you see in the pictures of the e-mobility business units, or we are talking about those combination sockets, those combination products, which you can see in the upper picture of the business unit one. These have to be constructed by electrotechnically trained specialists. And so we have a problem that we don't find so many of them on our regional labor market. Magdalena has said it before. We have quite a nice surrounding here where we live, but we have the problem that we don't have enough people for every profession here in our region. So what you see in this picture is a statistics from the Federal Employment Agency in Siegen. On unemployed skilled electricians. That's from 2021, but it shows quite good how the situation is today. We have in our region, we have 96 unemployed electricians, which is a very, very low number. And compared to the whole number of unemployed people in our region, which is 11,500 and something, this is 0.8% of all the unemployed people. So the labor market has not a lot to offer when it comes to electricians. So we have to focus on another way or on other solutions. Active sourcing might be a solution, but it's unfortunately not possible because in our company we have a human resource guideline that we are not allowed to directly address electricians that work for regional craft and installation businesses, because those little businesses, they sell our products and they install our products at the customers' houses and so on. And so we don't want to take away their employees. So we are not allowed to go directly to those employees and ask them, hey, what about working for Menicus? So this is a way that we can't go. And so the conventional recruitment approach only has a little chance of success, because our job advertisements in this sector, they are not as attractive for, because there are just not many people in this region, and we can't go and search them for ourselves. So our solution that we found for this, or that we are working on at the moment, is a versatile approach of different teams of our HR department to find qualified electricians. We take all the teams that we have in the HR department together. We have the recruiting, we have the personal development, we have the apprenticeship, and we have the corporate health, because every team has to take its part so that we can find qualified electricians. First of all, the recruiting is responsible for optimization of the job advertisements. So we went on to a year-round publication in different regional and national channels. So we work together with job portals like local ones like Karriere Südwestfalen, but also with big ones like Stepstone, maybe. Some time ago, we created a video job posting in cooperation with an external service provider, because we found that videos might be interesting for some people. They don't want to go online and read the job advertisement. They maybe just want to click on the play button and see a small video what this job is about. So we went that way. We offer job interviews with applicants the whole year around. So we always take a look on applicants that might be interesting for all electrician jobs. We are also on trade shares where we promote our jobs, and we do a long-term planning with the departments. So when the departments tell us we need two or three more electricians in the last year, we just open our eyes and look everywhere for people that we can find for those jobs. So we are in constant exchange with the contact persons in the department, and also scan our speculative applications for people that might be good in this field and might be talented for being an electrician. And we are also working on increasing our employer attractiveness in cooperation with our HR marketing, with our employer branding, so that we create a positive employer image that applicants are attracted to our company. That's what we do in the recruiting. In the personal development, we focus on motivated and talented assembly workers that we have in our company, who want to develop and take the next step. So these are people that don't have an apprenticeship, but they started working for us and they do a really good job. And so we focus on them and try to find out people that want to develop further, and our personal development is there to search for suitable seminars that provide the required qualifications that the people need to be electricians. And for example, then we offer appropriate on and off the job trainings. For example, there's one training that's called Qualified Electrician for Specified Activities. That's a duration of 1 week. So we can pick some people that are interested, that are talented for that, and we can send them to this seminar, to this training. And after 1 week, they are able to do at least some of the work that needs to be done by our electricians. The third part is the team apprenticeship, because it's always important to get young people for the company, and so we want to increase the apprenticeships for electricians to fulfill our future needs, so that we can grow the electricians by ourselves. We offer also an additional apprenticeship, which is called Industrial Electronics Technician, which only has a duration of 2 years. This is designed as a less learning intensive apprenticeship compared to the normal one that we had before, which is called Electronics Technician for Industrial Engineering. And there the duration is 3 or even 3.5 years. So this might be interesting for some that they only need to do 2 years, and then they have a successful apprenticeship. And also we try to connect our apprentices stronger within the departments where they work later, so that they are really, really good integrated and that they really want to stay in those departments and work there. The last part, which also plays a big role, is our team corporate health. So we focus on creating an ergonomic workplace equipment and environment so that people can do their job and stay healthy while doing it. For example, we offer return to work interviews when someone was ill for a longer time or has some health problems, so that we can find solutions together with the employee to improve his or her health status, so that they stay healthy and can do a good job. And we also offer further health promoting things like bike leasing or lectures on healthy lifestyle or action days like the Firmenlauf company run in Siegen, where some of our employees take part in. So to sum it up, what I said, the traditional ways of recruiting employees no longer bring sufficient success. So companies in general, or especially our company as well, have to adapt to the changed labor market in order to attract qualified employees. And the solution for Menicus, or the way Menicus is doing this, is to focus on a stronger cooperation between the different HR teams to attract applicants, to develop employees, which we have already in our company, to generate more young talents, and to optimize the working environment all in all. So that is our strategy for getting qualified electricians, which should be an example for other jobs as well. And I thank you very much for your attention. And if you have further questions, then just let me know.
Thanks a lot. As before, like if you have short questions, like raise your hand, unmute yourself, or write it in the chat. Also already, if you have some more longer questions, which need more clarification, I mean, also you're now talking to the recruiters from the two companies we have here. So if you're interested, as said, just I think we can slowly go into the broader discussion. So just make yourself noticeable if you have any questions you want to ask to our guests here. I want to start with I don't know whether you can say this, Peter, but because you mentioned this video post, I was wondering, like, did you evaluate in the end? Was it more successful than the classic post, or are you still in evaluation? Do you plan to do this video postings on open jobs more often, or do you go back to the classic scheme?
Well, the video is ready by now, but it's not published as far as I know, because we have been working on that for some time to optimize it. And right now, our growth, our job advertisements are a little bit less than in the last years. So we are still waiting for a good time to post it. So it's not online now, but it will go online pretty soon, I think. And then we'll see how successful this might be. I think in the future, we will focus on both ways. We will focus on traditional job advertisements as well as on video postings to just address different peer groups, different people with that.
Yeah, thanks, agree. Yeah, no sense. I was just curious about that. Makes sense. Yeah, how that works. So to start up the broader discussion, so I mean, in both of your talks, there was this similarity that you, like, I mean, it's in part because there isn't a lot of skilled workers in that region who are currently looking for a job. And what's currently, at least in the policy debate under discussion, is to like target or recruit skilled workers from the international labor market. I was wondering, is that already a topic in your companies? I don't know, we can start with Margareta and then continue with Peter. Is that already a topic in your companies? Do you look for skilled labor also outside of Germany? If so, how do you do it? Or are there any strategies with respect to that?
For our German company, Guggenheim, we are not really looking internationally yet, but I guess that's a subject we cannot hide from in the future. I guess we're just not there yet because it just worked like with the just job advertisement in Germany, but because we have 10 locations abroad, we are looking in those countries already. So that is something maybe that that's why we haven't looked into it yet for Germany, I guess.
Thanks. Yeah. How is it for Medicus?
My answer is quite similar to Margareta's answer. For our headquarter in Kirchhundem and in Welschen-Ennest, it's pretty rare that we search for international people, because in that way, Menikus is maybe a little bit traditional or even old-fashioned, and many departments in the company say that we need people who have at least some German skills to get along. But we also have teams in our department that are more open to that and say, we are a team where everyone can speak English more or less good. And so we are open for international employees. And so in those teams, we look for them from time to time. But many departments, they still focus a little bit more on people from our region that have German skills. And but we also had, I can give you one example. We were searching for a product manager last year, and then we had someone who was living in Turkey, in Istanbul. He was originally from Iran, and we had a Teams meeting with him, which was very, very good. He was a very, very skilled and very nice person. And then we invited him for a job interview to Germany, which was also good. But in the end, the head of the department chose another applicant. But this is an example that, we look for international employees from time to time. And of course, in our international offices and in the sales department, we look for people from the origin countries as well. For example, we are searching for some sales specialists in the Scandinavian countries right now. And there, the philosophy is that those should be people from the countries, because they know their country, they know their people better than someone from Germany could do that.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yes, like, I don't know, maybe it also depends on like the needs. So if your skilled workers are even more short than they are currently, then maybe like systems might emerge where you offer, like, I don't know, German classes in combination with apprenticeship, and the first year or first half year of the apprenticeship will be German classes.
Yeah.
Depending on how things evolve.
Yeah, German is something that that everyone can learn. It's a pretty difficult language, I think, but I think everyone who is willing to learn can learn, and we would also offer courses for that if we had someone whose German skills are not so good at the beginning, so that he or she can develop with those courses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, and completely understand. I guess, because this is, as you mentioned, particularly in the production sides, I guess this is a huge barrier when it comes to the more administrative management job. Probably it's less important, but especially for the production.
Yeah, it is exactly like this.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about different recruitments in different countries, so I think you mentioned you have locations in different countries, especially you mentioned the US. How does it differ, recruiting here in Germany to recruiting in the US? Are there like cultural differences? So there are regulational differences, but are there particular challenges in different countries?
Well, I guess the first challenge is with the job culture. A lot of people do not, they move on fairly more often than the Germans. They just see a company as a career step, so that we have a lot more changes going on in America at our daughter company. When it comes to recruiting, I would we work closely with a headhunter together, just because we live so far away and it's really hard. The subsidiary is not big enough to do it by themselves. But what I always notice is that a lot of the applicants we get applications from have studied something totally different in college, but have so much work experience in that particular department that they are equally qualified. It's just sometimes very interesting to see where they came from and what they're doing now. I guess they are, because of the cultural difference, more willing to learn and get into the new job positions, qualify themselves even further.
Thanks.
I can't give you so many examples because international recruiting is something that a colleague of mine is doing. He's searching for the Scandinavian sales managers, for example, right now. But as far as I got it from him, the cultural differences are a thing. They differ a lot from country to country, or from continent to continent. For example, in Scandinavia, it's a different mentality than in Asia. So we always have to look what do we want, what kind of person, what kind of qualification do we want. And of course, a lot of recruiting is done by networks in those countries. When someone who's worked for our company maybe leaves the company but knows some people that might be interested to follow on his or him, then it's always something that we focus on. And we also work together with headhunters, because they know the labor market in those countries better than we do from Germany, from our HR office, so that makes sense to go that way in other countries as well.
Yeah, thanks. All right.
Networking is actually a really good thing that you mentioned. It's the same that I noticed too, but it's also in Australia that way, or in Canada. I guess those employees or experts are so connected within their field that they already know each other. And then one thing that it's what's different in Asia, or what I noticed there, is that the employee values really differ from ours, that you always have to take care of too. For example, here in Germany, it's a huge thing, the 4-day week. In Asia, we notice more the thing that if they cannot work Saturdays, they're not too happy about it because they really want to work it. So it's the other way around. What we do not want to work an extra day, they want to work an extra day.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, okay, it sounds like actually like quite huge differences that you have to take into account in the setups. I don't know whether this is really connected, but I want to go back to, I mean, the broader context of the series of the Mama Startup Festival is to talk more about startups. And so I was wondering, like, in how far is what you're doing, like, I mean, you mentioned that there are like huge differences in culture between continents, between regions. And I could imagine that a German startup would have maybe a similar culture compared as you face it in the US, maybe not so much as you face it now. Like, what do you think are particular strengths maybe that you have in recruiting people, or what are might be weaknesses that startups have when they recruit, or in or has maybe more specified question, like, given that like startup culture and working in startups is like becoming increasingly popular in Germany, do you think this has somewhat changed the way you can recruit people? For example, remember Margareta, you mentioned that many more just want to go to study now, or less people doing apprenticeship. This whole startup business, going to study, setting up your own company, in some way affecting what you're doing. I can start again with you, whatever that you want.
Okay. I guess the weakness startup have are the it's not as safe as traditional family businesses. But startups have the huge advantage that well, they most of the time do not have production with them. They are most of the time younger and have a young team, and therefore are open for more more trend topics. But because startups are always very small, they can move on with benefits faster. So a lot of startups I know, a remote work is set in stone. They each have like a cultural, like the company culture is young, and they do a lot of team meetings after work, just because they are all one age group. I guess that's one advantage. And because they offer most of the time remote, very remote work, I guess they do not have the location disadvantage as much as we do. As far as what they can learn from the traditional companies is that the key is basically to keep the employees. I guess that's very important, and I don't know exactly, because I have only had briefly contact to startups, how that works. I could imagine though that the employees there might switch a little bit faster than our employees.
Yeah, makes sense. But like fits well of what you described of like the culture in the US. It's not so much with loyalty might be the one you're looking for. Yeah, Peter, do you want to add something?
Yeah, sure. I've made some small experiences with, I would still call it a startup. When I was studying, I worked for a little company, a little agency, marketing agency. And at that time when I worked there, I think they had like 5 or 6 employees, so pretty small. And the founder founded the agency like 5 years ago when I started working there. So yeah, I've made my own experiences with that a little bit. And I think they are often, compared to traditional companies, to family companies like Menikus, they are often a little bit more dynamic. They are more brave when it comes to some decisions, like at that time, home office or mobile working was not a big thing for most companies. And they thought about that even in those time to make it more attractive for the employees. Yeah, and like Margareta said before, we had a pretty young team. We had a team that was pretty familiar with each other. So the company atmosphere was quite good. But for startups, it's sometimes difficult to fulfill some of the basic factors enough, like the thing which is called job security, maybe, or maybe also the payment are things that needs to be fulfilled for some people. And so I've made the experience that startups focus a little bit more on young people because they are motivated. They are maybe not used to high salaries. And so they might have a good job start, career start in a startup. But yeah, to keep them in the company for a long time and to get maybe really people that have some experience, that's for startups sometimes hard, I think.
Yeah, thanks. No, I think that fits well to what Margareta also described. Yeah, makes a lot of sense what you both say. I think in the interest of time, as said, like if you have more questions, raise your hand, write it in the chat, or just unmute yourself. I would have maybe a last question, considering that there are like students of the FH Südwestfalen here in the audience. So, so I guess like what you're looking for as an employer differs a lot by the different job descriptions you have. But given that the audience here is rather homogeneous, they're all students, I think all business administration students. Like, is there any particular, like in terms of soft skills that you're looking for when you're recruiting? What are like, apart from, I don't know, like grades or things like that, what are things you look at? How important are internships, for example? How important are exchanges to other countries, like, yeah, in the small management jobs? And Margareta, if you want, we stick with this.
Okay, fine. I wasn't sure. Well, that's a good question. Well, basically, yeah, as you said, we're looking at grades, but we also, for students, we are looking into the work experience they have, because for us that's, very important, because if they've never worked in the department they sent the application to, how should they be sure that that's the department they want to work in? And if they have done some internships or so, they at least know how it looks inside. Besides that, if somebody has little work experience, it isn't a problem either, because at the beginning of our employment, we, as I said, we have a trainee program where they visit each department in the company that is important for their future position. It is individually customized to the new employee, so we can basically have the training program run through, and the student will just be fine. What else should be, we're looking to applicants that have or share the same values that our company has. I think that is very important just to get along, fit in the team. And of course, the involvement, the Freiwillige volunteer work is always a bonus on top.
Cool. Yeah, same. Peter, how is it?
My screen just turned black. I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah, we still
can see you. Okay, now the picture is back again. As I do the recruitment of students as well in our company, there are some things that are important for me. It's always a good idea to go for some internships or even a working student activity. Because when someone is studying something, it can be all or nothing like this. Someone can be really good at studying and have good grades, but what makes it for me as a recruiter more reliable is when someone has at least a little bit of experience. When someone is still studying, I think you can't really look for year-long experience because you have to start somewhere. But then internships or working study activities are a good idea to get first experiences in special job fields, and maybe to even know what job fields or what departments are not the right department for oneself. So it's always good for me when I have an application and then I see people that have been at least working a little bit next to their studies to get this first experience and to get also insights in a company, how a company is working, how teamwork is going there and so on. These are really good skills that people should bring, and internships and working study activities provide the chance to do this. When it comes to soft skills that we are looking for, this is an important point for us because our head of HR always says people that we are searching for, they have to be compatible with Manicus, with the company atmosphere. And a lot of teams, a lot of departments look for people that fit in well in the team. Mm-hmm. So the personality and the qualification is of course something that needs to be there, but the personality and the fit to the team is even more important sometimes. And we really scan for that in the job interviews in the first step, and for many jobs that are advertised, we do a test day, so that we invite the people for one day to get to know the team they would work with and to get to know at least some of the tasks that are within this job. And then we ask the team later on, could you imagine to work together with him or her? Because this fit is really important. And every team is a little bit different. So it's hard to say that we search people for Manicus that are like this way or like that way. It depends a little bit on the department and on the team. Yeah, but they should be compatible with our company, with our teams. And like as a family business from the Sauerland, we are searching for people that are a little bit down to earth, that search for long-term jobs, long-term corporations, and this is a little bit the thing that we focus on, but not exclusively.
One thing that I just got in my mind is that we are always, like, we are already working closely together with the FH Südwestfalen. And one thing we like to offer the students to get to know our company from the inside is that we offer to help them with their bachelor or master thesis. We are always open for students that would like to write the thesis with us. We brainstorm most of the time together is a theme of the thesis because the students have their own ideas. We have the own idea, but the professor also has the own idea. So it's a mix out of all three groups then, but that's always a great way to get into a company, to get to know a company. And then after writing together the thesis, you really know if you want to work there, if it fits from the team. As Peter kind of said, that's very important also for us. But that's a great start. And you do not need to have a whole lot of work experience to write thesis.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think this really looks, sounds like good ways to find this match, which I guess is quite difficult just based on a single interview, like whether these values or characteristics match to a specific department. So like, yeah, this on the job day or writing bachelor and master thesis with the two companies. I hope you all took some notes and in case you plan to apply there. And I think I know, I don't see any more questions. So with that, I think I want to sort of close this this meeting here. And my last note, I now want to share my screen. I hope you see it. So because we all want to invite you to our sort of last event of this speaker series. So the last event of the Mammut Startup Festival, it will be held on the 21st of June this year in person, actually, at the Fachhochschule Südwestfalen. We're currently working with our keynote speakers. We already have some agreements and are pretty excited for that day. Also means some challenges for you if you want. That is, so the Ideenchecker, as we call it, is still open. So you can, if you plan to run your own startup or have an idea for a startup, you can submit your ideas there for the Ideenchecker. It's still online on the homepage. You will get an evaluation of how your idea is performing. The best ideas will be able to pitch their ideas there in front of the jury. So very similar as last year. The jury will give you comments on what's successful and what's not. And there will be, of course, one winner with the best idea for a startup. So mark this date, 21st of June in Meschede. Anja just copied the link into the chat where you find it. And I hope to see many of you then in Meschede on that date. And thanks a lot for being here. And wish you a great evening. Thanks for attending. Special thanks, of course, to our guests, Margareta and Peter. Many thanks for joining these insights from Kettenwolf and Manicus. I hope to see you all in June.
Thanks for the invitation and have a great evening. And if someone still have questions to what I said today or to our company or to jobs in our company, you can find my contact dates on our website and feel free just to contact me.
Yeah, thanks from my side as well. It was a pleasure speaking. I was a little bit nervous beforehand. But I hope you liked it and have a great evening.